A few months ago in Florida, it appeared incumbent Governor Jeb Bush was on the defensive, and Democrats were on the move. They had picked a candidate, Bill McBride, who demonstrated statewide appeal by defeating former Attorney General Janet Reno. Polls said the race was too close to call, but then came Election Day. And when the dust settled, Bush had scored a resounding victory, beating McBride by 13 percentage points. NPR's Philip Davis reports on some of the reasons behind Bush's win and McBride's defeat.
For many observers, McBride's momentum began to stall after the second televised debate, in which he seemed ill-prepared when asked if school reform would cost $8 billion, as some had estimated, or $27 billion, as Governor Bush had charged.
I think it's somewhere in between. No, I'm serious. It's somewhere in between the $8 billion and the $27 billion.
12 or 15?
Well, I think that's a fair estimate, yes, sir.
But there were deeper causes to McBride's woes than his debate performance. Thomas Pender heads the All People's Democratic Club in Miami, a group of Black and Hispanic Democratic activists.
McBride did not reach out and pull in a female nor a Black. And so my take, and I did an unscientific poll throughout the community and our club, and it was, we didn't feel energized. There was no connection to McBride.
McBride didn't campaign hard in the Black community until just before the election, but by then it was too late. In the end, though McBride did receive most of the Black vote, Black turnout was only 55%, more than 20% lower than in 2000, according to an analysis in the Miami Herald. Though Democrats slightly outnumber Republicans in the state, Florida Democratic Chairman Bob Poe said it was fears of another election debacle that apparently depressed Democratic turnout.
Clearly, there was a majority of folks who just decided that they couldn't afford the two-hour wait in line, which never materialized, ironically.
But some analysts say McBride's strategy was flawed. Jim Kane, a nonpartisan Fort Lauderdale pollster, said McBride felt his status as a successful businessman and Vietnam veteran would allow him to pick up massive support in North Florida and the Panhandle.
And that was a totally disastrous strategy. Democrats always get clobbered in the Panhandle in a statewide election. They try to hold their own in the midsection. They don't have to win it, but they have to win South Florida by a huge margin. He didn't hold his own in the midsection. He got clobbered there, and he didn't do particularly well in South Florida. He even lost Miami-Dade,
which Al Gore carried 2 years ago. At the same time, the Bush campaign was using McBride's fiscal fuzziness to paint him as a tax-and-spend liberal in a TV ad blitz, sheer poison in a state proud of not having an income tax. And under the radar, according to Republican State Chairman Al Cardenas, the bilingual governor was putting together a new base of support with the state's usually Democratic-leaning Hispanics.
We probably became the first state in America where the traditional Hispanic vote voted 50% or higher for the Republican candidate.
And finally, Bush was helped immensely by his family connection to the White House. Brother and President George W. Bush made a dozen trips to the state over the past 2 years, helping Jeb raise more than $30 million. The upshot was Republicans were energized to vote, while many Democrats stayed home. And that led not only to McBride's defeat, but Democratic defeat statewide. So today in Florida, a state that 2 years ago came within a hair's breadth of giving Democrats the presidency, Republicans now control the state house, every statewide elected cabinet office, and overwhelming majorities in the legislature, while Democrats ponder how to rebuild their shattered party. Philip Davis, NPR News, Miami.